At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, no matter where you are. We want to come and learn together and discuss a new healthcare approach that addresses the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive.
All right. Welcome to the Table Talk podcast. My name is Melody Hartzler, and I am the owner and founder of Farm to Table. And I have with me two of my pharmacists sitting around the table today. And so a couple of us are actually in the same city. Lauren is a pharmacist that is the owner and leader of the Functional Medicine Pharmacist Alliance. And then he actually lives here in Dayton, Ohio with me. So Lauren, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. So Melody and I go way back to whenever we first were both getting started in functional medicine. And I think that's the beautiful thing about this journey is that I think when we started out, it felt like no one was talking about this. And it was so new and exciting. And we were really looking for support and community and other pharmacists and clinicians to bounce ideas off of, but we also both got to start being patients first and having family members with health issues. And I think that's so true for many people that come down this path. And for me, that led me to building out FMPHA in order to support other pharmacists and being part of Farm to Table team to help others in their health journeys.
Awesome. Thank you. And Aparna is a little further away in the neighboring state. I would say she is like in the neighboring state, but she's on the opposite side of the neighboring state. But tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing in Pennsylvania.
Hi, everyone. I'm Aparna. I live in Pennsylvania near Hershey, actually. So if anyone wants to come to Hershey Park, we're here. So let us know. And yeah, I live here with my husband and our two daughters. And I've been a practicing pharmacist for about 14 years. I got into functional medicine. And Lauren said, like many of us starting out as a patient, my own health issues, mostly gut issues, actually. And these are things I've been dealing with since I've actually been a child. And my parents didn't know anything about functional medicine. And after years and years of going around to many different doctors, I just dug into it myself and said, there has to be another way. Just going to doctors and getting put on medications that weren't really helping. That's how I fell down the rabbit hole of functional medicine, and I haven't looked back. And very grateful to be a part of Farm to Table and have all the support of all these amazing women who are bringing pharmacy and functional medicine together. It's been great so far.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us today. So why don't we start with your story about your journey? So the goal of this podcast, we don't have a specific topic today, but every few podcasts, we're going to be just sharing part of our team's stories. So you can go as far back as you want, or you can start wherever you were. I think it's interesting, too, with your dad and your dad being a pharmacist and just some of that cultural aspect to your journey as well. So share whatever you feel our listeners want to hear.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, like you said, my dad is also a pharmacist. We're from India. And so there's that mix of Eastern and Western culture, but also the Ayurvedic medicine has been a big part of our family and growing up and everything. But on the other hand, going to pharmacy school where you don't really go into that much at all. So I got away from it for quite a few years. And then my dad started a natural products, like an ingredient company based on Ayurvedic herbs. So it was 6 or 7 Ayurvedic herbs. And so he clinically studied. So that's what he brought to, he wanted to bring Eastern medicine backed by science. So that's what we didn't really have a lot of here. And there's a lot of skepticism on whether these remedies actually work. And then looking at toxicities and side effects and things like that. A lot of people get worried about that and don't even want to go near that at all. Being a pharmacist, he was always in R&D, research and development. So this was kind of his jam. So he wanted to bring all of this to America and to the West. So that's how it started. And I actually left pharmacy for 3 years to work for him. And I did sales and marketing, which was a huge shift for me. And I think maybe for some pharmacists, we're so science oriented. And so sales and marketing was completely new territory for me, but it was an amazing experience. And actually, that's how I learned about a lot of these supplement companies that we work with now, like Orthomolecular Products, Metagenics, all these companies that we get our products from and everything. So we were trying to get those raw ingredients into these products. After working for him, I shifted my entire mindset of being afraid of supplements and these natural products and that there are great companies that are putting out amazing products for various issues that people are having. So rather than turning always to a pharmaceutical agent, that there's other options. And during this whole process, like I said, I've been dealing with my gut issues probably since I was 5 or 6 years old. And I've been to many gastroenterologists, and you would just leave there with another laxative or something. And but no one really digging into the cause of why are you having so many problems with, you know, whether it's motility or symptoms of what I now find that I have SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So it took literally decades to find this out. And had I understood or learned more about functional medicine maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I could have started the healing process a lot sooner. But I am on the healing journey now. And I do. And some of my dad's products are actually in some of his ingredients are in some of the products that we use. I think going down that path just led me into this whole functional medicine path. Now I'm working with, based on the knowledge that I've gained in the past few years of looking for the root cause and looking at my diet and looking at maybe my genetics and a lot of things, I'm putting it all together. And now that I know that I have this small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and I now found out fungal overgrowth, lucky me. I'm putting it all together and using food and a lot of herbal products and everything. So yeah, that's been my journey so far. And, you know, I still have a ways to go because, you know, after 20, 30 years of dysfunction, it's going to take some time to heal. But I'm definitely significantly better than I was.
What did that feel like as a patient when you're going to who seemingly is the expert in your condition and they have no answers? How did you feel? And what kind of answers were they telling you that this is probably just XYZ or something like that?
Yeah, it was disappointing for sure, because you go and them not having answers or wanting to dig deeper to find anything, but rather, let me just cover up your symptoms. Okay, you're constipated or, you know, something like that. And okay, there's, you know, a reason why this is happening. You know, is it your ileocecal valve? Is it your sympathetic nervous system and it's overactive and you're having issues with motility? There's so many reasons this could be happening. But that was never explained to me, not even once. And it's more of, here's a laxative for the constipation. And that was basically it. Or a prescription agent to get me my motility moving, but never really asking more questions of how's your stress, how's your sleep, or what are you eating? Maybe you have some food sensitivities, but that was not discussed. Yeah, it was very disappointing and just felt helpless.
Yeah, no, that was my experience too. I had a similar journey with SIBO, and one doctor would basically, everyone said, you just have IBS, right? That's what it is. You have symptoms, you have bloating, you have constipation, you have this. And your GANs all look normal, like all of the rule out the bad things like are fine, but you're still not feeling well. And you have this constant abdominal pain, constant bloating. I have a lot of patients that tell me that they're constantly bloated. It just feels like by the end of the day, like they're two sizes bigger in the waist. So that's really, really challenging. My patients generally complain a lot of those same symptoms, right? They've been to a GI provider and the GI provider wants to scope them. Maybe they've had an endoscopy, maybe they've had a colonoscopy. And I know there are crazy situations where people do have cancers or polyps and things when they're in the 20s or 30s. But most of the time, I feel like some of these tests are unnecessary for this population. But I feel like our medical system is in this like super high, everyone's insurance is crazy high. If they miss something like this, they're like really at risk. So we do all these scans and CT scans and all of these things to find like everything looks normal, but you have stool in your colon, right? And you're constipated. And yes, it's good to rule that out and it does give you peace of mind, but it's an expensive process to rule out some of these things too. So it's definitely frustrating as a patient to be able to go to the specialist and not get an answer. And I see so many people even looking like, I want a functional GI provider. I'm looking for a functional gastroenterologist. And unfortunately, I tell them, I don't know if you're going to find that person. There's a handful of people. Like there was a doctor in Columbus, Ohio that was that after he got fed up with the process for so many years and found this on his own. There's Dr. Pimental that does a lot of research and probably is more of an integrative GI provider that is studying a lot about SIBO and SIFO. and Cedars-Sinai, but I just really don't see a lot of that. And part of it is because of their training, right? They're trained to, they're going through traditional medical school programs. If they're MDs, they've not even had those conversations about osteopathy or manipulation and the benefits and that in these conditions. Not that there aren't DO providers, but even in their residency training or their fellowship, GI, I think, is actually a fellowship after internal medicine, they're not doing a lot of osteopathy, even if they did have that training in medical school. So by the time they get to actually practicing, they've really been trained in a more traditional medical model that really doesn't think about that body alignment piece or the root cause piece or the holistic nature of it. I will say, I think because we have a prescription drug for SIBO, and while it's not approved for SIBO, it's approved for IBS-D because that's the ICD-10 diagnosis code. I think they're starting to come around a little bit with like use of that medication, but that's like the only thing, right? They're like, okay, I'll give you Xifaxan and you can take it for one course and you can, what is it, 2 or 3 times a year. You can use it if you need it. It's fixing the issue of overgrowth at that point, but it's maybe creating fungal overgrowth to your point, because we're killing the bacteria, not addressing the overgrowth of fungus. And we're not coming back in and saying, okay, how do we heal? What was the root cause? Why did we get here in the first place? So I think GI will come around at some point, but I don't know. They're on the path to discovery. So this microbiome thing, I mean, there's articles in the news every day about the microbiome and its connection to this and that. But I think they're so busy like ruling out bad stuff, making sure people don't have severe inflammation, they're not bleeding out, like all of those like more severe acute things that they, just like the rest of the healthcare system, don't have time to spend to learn to figure out the underlying cause. And so I guess I say all that to say, I don't think it's their fault that they don't know this stuff, right? Just like any other provider, but it's just frustrating, again, as a patient to go to what, you know, the expert in this group of organs and you're like, oh, you don't have an answer for me either, right? Yeah. So what does your healing journey look like now? I know you've been working with, is a naturopath or?
Yeah, she's a naturopathic doctor. And so I've had a friend that saw her and had literally the same exact issues that I had. So yeah, and it's been, you know, quite, I mean, it's a mix of obviously pharmaceutical agents and we're still pharmacists. We still use those medications and I absolutely still believe in them. You know, where I'm on a prokinetic agent to help with motility. And then we did various courses. We did the Xifaxan with metronidazole. I did the elemental diet for 2 weeks, which is supposed to be like the big gun. And it's like the eradication rate's really high. But somehow my numbers went higher after that. So just goes to show what level of gut dysfunction I started with. And then there's the herbal route. Then I used that last. And that actually worked the best for me. But now we've, like you said, the fungal overgrowth. So just dealing with that. But then again, the main thing that we're trying to do and that I'm working on with my naturopath is trying to get to the root cause. We evaluated the ileocecal valve. So if you go to a physical therapist or someone that specializes in that kind of manipulation to look at that and evaluate that, if that's sluggish, that could be a problem. But now I'm along the path of fixing low stomach acid. So I think that's a big part of my issue, which I've been trying to address it, but I think I need more work on that. That's where I am now. And maybe we'll obviously continue maybe another herbal protocol at some point, but dealing with the fungal overgrowth will be now the main issue. I actually have an appointment with her today.
Okay. I have a supplement that I really like, so I'll send it
to
you. Although FullScript is always out of it. I sent them a message just for like, hey, why is this always out of stock? Yeah, I think when you're talking about like those next steps, I think that's a good point that it's like a journey and it's not like a lot of patients come to us with this whole laundry list of symptoms that they're experiencing. And with everything in America, we want an instant gratification, right? We want to watch it now. We want to feel better now. And I think this is just a good example that it's a journey. And same thing for me, like it was a 1.5 to 2 year journey of really correcting. And even now there's like setbacks. So if I get sick and I'm having all these like honey lozenges and like all kinds of extra sugar in my diet for a vacation or something like that, sometimes I have to do a week or so of something to calm things down. But I do think ileocecal valve was a big player in my reason that I got SIBO in the first place. I think it had something to do with my pregnancy and how she was positioned and causing motility issues during pregnancy too, and probably the stress of a lot of the stuff I experienced postpartum. But when I did go to a chiropractor, like they use muscle testing and things to like identify ileocecal valve issues. And that was always something that was coming up. And the spot right where I was feeling like some of that inflammation was right there too. So it's interesting when you actually go to some of these providers, like you said, a physical therapist, a chiropractor, osteopath, whoever is like putting their hands on you and finding, I'm just like the biggest proponent of those things. If I was another type of provider in my future life, it would be one of those, right? That has, but I think it's also like an inherent skill too, because even if you've gone to school for one of those things, there are some people that are like, especially in the DO world, I think there's some people that just have really amazing osteopathic manipulation skills. And then there's some people that are like, yeah, that's not really my jam. But it is such like an inner skill that they have to evaluate on that level. So anyways, but I do feel like that is something that's missed a lot, is whether it's surgical adhesions or some other kind of like spinal misalignment that's causing your nerves to not send the right signals. But there's so much to like having your body be aligned. So while we're pharmacists providing telehealth and we can help you align your body that way, we will absolutely recommend that you see one of these providers. And then also, I think the elemental diet is a good point about SIBO. I mean, I've only recommended the elemental diet a handful of times because of the challenges of it, right? You're only eating that for a couple weeks. And I have seen some people even recommend like a modified elemental diet where they might eat chicken plus the elemental or something extra protein. Because one of the concerns is the weight loss component. Like you're not trying to lose weight, but you certainly are to get enough calories to sustain your body with drinking those shakes can be really expensive and tedious. So what was your like takeaway with, obviously that wasn't necessarily your solution, but what was your like pointers for people that might be going down the elemental diet path?
I think if you prepare yourself mentally, and it's harder, like I said, I have my husband and kids, so I'm still cooking for them while I'm not able to eat it and you're smelling all this food. So I think if you can try to separate yourself from that and just have someone else in your house do the cooking and feeding of the children for that time period, just so you're not around it all the time. But just to keep it in your mind that, okay, it's 2 weeks, you drink, and at least it takes the, if you've ever done a low FODMAP diet or one of those diets, it's tough to figure out what to eat and, you know, what to cook all the time. So it takes that part out. So I did like that. There was no guessing. You just mix the stuff, you drink it. It's easy peasy. But yeah, it was just more for me socially. And, you know, you feel a little isolated because you're not able to partake in all of that. Other than that, I said, if you're feeling terrible and your symptoms will get better pretty quickly because you're really not putting it much into your system. So if you're having really bad symptoms, and you start that, at least you'll have an improvement in that area pretty quickly. So that part was good. If you did everything and it comes down to that, you can do it for 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, maybe you can.
Yeah. And I like the idea of maybe adding in some meat or something that's like protein, if like you're trying not to lose weight during the process, and you probably don't need to lose 10 pounds.
Well, it came right back anyway. So it's not like it's the sustained weight loss or anything.
Well, we'll transition over to Lauren's story. Mm-hmm. So Lauren, why don't you, I know your story involves your spouse and his journey too. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it's definitely tied in because my husband struggled with candida overgrowth. We would have never figured this out. It was not something I learned about in pharmacy school. If anything, you only learned that it was in severely immunocompromised patients. Nothing about the fact that it could be an overgrowth in your gut. We're doing everything we thought was the right way to live a healthy life. This was back in like 2015. So we were going to the gym and working out. We both worked pretty stressful jobs, so we knew that was probably a factor. And we thought we were eating healthy. That was like the biggest revelation for me when we started down this path, is I was making us smoothies and things, and we were eating like whole wheat bread because that's what the guidelines say to do, and low fat dairy, skim milk, like again, all the things that you're taught are the right way to eat. We got this flyer in the mail from an integrative wellness center in Michigan, and it listed all these symptoms that Seth had been struggling with, everything from like brain fog and fatigue to stomach issues, sinus issues, gut issues, just all of these different constellation of symptoms. And the more we talked about it, as a pharmacist, I was like, sure, I could tell you all these different drugs that you could take that would help clear up different symptoms, but I don't understand why you feel so crappy all the time. Something has to be causing this because we're doing everything right. We decided to have him go to this weekend seminar. It was like this little dinner and presentation. And essentially, this chiropractor walked through this entire concept of functional medicine and the idea of actually being able to get to the root cause through some more advanced testing and using targeted supplementation, potentially with prescriptions if needed, but this really different approach. And so he came back and was like, I think I should try this. And I said, okay, let's do it. It was $5,000, which at the time was just so crazy to think about spending that much money for something that wouldn't even be covered by insurance. But at that point, it was like there was no other choice. We really wanted to feel our best. And this seemed like the answer we had been looking for. It included everything, all 12 weeks of visits, all the supplements, all the labs. And when once you actually added it all up, you realize, okay, that's actually not a bad deal. He did his testing, and that was just the light bulb moment for me whenever it came back. And we did this food sensitivity panel, and it flagged the results for candida that it picks up as well. And then, of course, gluten and dairy. And this man had been eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and skim milk every single day for a bedtime snack his whole life. And it made so much sense. And if you're new to understanding candida, basically bread, any kind of bread that has yeast in it, fruit juices and jellies, and peanut butter that can have mycotoxins in it. It's like the three combo, just candida favorite thing ever to eat. It made so much sense. And we also discovered some other things too, like low testosterone, low vitamin D, all these things that we might have picked up the vitamin D, but it wasn't at a range that the regular doctors would have said it was a problem. So that was the other piece. It was like, wait a second, there's a big difference between these reference ranges and what they're saying is optimal. Same thing with his blood sugar and cholesterol levels. His regular doctors had said everything was fine. It was all in range. Like, he wasn't diabetic. He didn't have like actual out of range cholesterol levels. But then when we looked at this beautiful report that just printed everything out and really showed like, okay, this is not optimal. Like, you were not that far away from actual dysfunction here. That's why you don't feel good. It started to make sense. So we went through an elimination diet. I was brand new to that. I followed along with it just because I was being supportive and we were sharing the same food anyways, so why not? And I was just so shocked that I started to feel better. I didn't even think I felt bad at all. For so many people, we say, oh, I feel fine. And we're not meant to just feel fine. We're meant to thrive. We're meant to feel amazing and have all this energy. And we just get so used to feeling a certain way that you don't even realize it's not actually normal. That for me was just, again, it was fascinating to go through that process with him. The supplements that he added into the diet also made such a huge difference in clearing everything up. Within just a few weeks, all of the symptoms went away. Like, he stopped snoring at night, like lost a ton of weight that had been holding on, and just felt amazing. Like, we both felt amazing. So that is what started me down this path. And I decided to actually go back to school, did a master's in nutrition and functional medicine online, because for me, the nutrition piece was just really the game changer. And I wanted to learn so much more about that and be able to utilize it in my practice as a pharmacist, right? I had just this fire lit that I was like, this is the future of how we all need to be practicing. And I want to be in a position that I can help teach and lead other practitioners and companies and bring this to the forefront of medicine. It was quite the journey. And it wasn't until later on that I had my own health journey. So my health journey started after I got back from a project where I was working on functional medicine with my previous employer, and it was under a lot of stress caregiving for my mom. And then ultimately, I had also finished my master's, had gotten promoted, was in a very stressful district manager job, and got back from the project and, you know, had to clean up a big mess with the stores that I was running. And then, of course, COVID started and my mom's health had all gotten worse. So I had started to feel my own energy levels and my mental health starting to really struggle and suffer. And it wasn't until later that year, at the end of 2020, that I finally decided to go off of hormonal birth control. So for me, that was like the one holdout that I wasn't willing to let go of from like a conventional medicine standpoint, because again, when you're in pharmacy school, you learn very little about natural family planning. You learn all the information about hormonal contraceptives and the efficacy rate, and it's 99% for this or 95% for that, or you have perfect use or imperfect use and all these things. And so in the back of my mind, it was just too risky to not be on hormonal birth control, because if it wasn't 99 to 95% effective, that was too big of a risk. But I started to get some hints that maybe my hormones were part of the problem. And I had started to learn more about the fact that, yeah, realistically speaking, there's only like a week of time in a given month that you're actually going to get pregnant. And the fact that you're unable to know when that time is in your own body tells you that you're just completely out of touch. And so that's when I started to learn more about cycle syncing and actually working with your body instead of against it, like I had been doing for all 30 plus years of my life, really just fighting against the way our beautifully designed bodies are meant to work. I finally went off birth control, thought that would just solve my problems and that everything would be fine and my periods would come right back. And 3 months went by and nothing. I talked to my regular doctor and she says, oh, it's fine. They'll come back. We don't need to do anything right now. Wait another 3 months. So now we're at 6 months, still nothing. And that's when I started to get worried and I started to do more of my own research around post-birth control syndrome, PCOS, hypothalamic amenorrhea, all the different reasons that a woman in her 30s would not be getting her periods back after going off birth control. And I decided to work with my doctor in terms of getting some of the tests ordered that I needed, but then go out on my own and actually order a Dutch test for myself. If you've not run one of these, it's basically a dried urine test and it looks at the hormone metabolites. And that was the key for me because my regular blood tests mostly seemed normal. My AMH was a little high, so my doctor was thinking I had PCOS, which I did not. Mm-hmm. And the Dutch test is what really showed my estrogen and progesterone levels were basically in almost menopausal range. It was a huge wake-up call for me that something had to change. And that's also when I started to really become more fascinated with mental health and our brain health and how that connects to our hormone health. Because in my particular case, this was not an issue of PCOS or insulin issues that I was having these metabolic issues with my hormones. Mine was purely being driven from the amount of stress and the nervous system load that I was under. Really just a lot of emotional stress that I was under. So I started working on bringing my body back into safety. If anything, I looked like the picture of health on the outside because I had been working out for so many years. We ate super clean. And that, I think, was also very eye-opening that sometimes you can actually have your own plan backfire, right? Because you can almost become too healthy in the sense that your body needs to have that safety, right? If it's just constantly being pushed to its limits to look a certain way or to perform all the time, we're not robots, we're not machines, we need rest. And so the rest piece was really key for me. I had to cut so many things out because I was this high achiever and all these things. Really had to take a step back, cut things out, increase my calories, actually go back to eating foods that I had cut out of my diet and sworn off for so long, and really start to individualize it back to what my hormones needed in order to flourish. I also started building an acupuncture, which was something that I was terrified to do because I hate needles. But Melody hooked me up with a fabulous acupuncturist here in Dayton. That also was the start for me around learning about energy medicine. Acupuncture is based on Chinese meridians of energy flow in the body and the qi and all of these things. And at the time then, I really did not understand any of it. I just went along with it and trusted that there was evidence behind this. One, that was my biggest reason. Like there was papers that have been studied that show how acupuncture can help with hormone issues. That was all I needed to say, yes, I am willing to try anything at this point, including having needles stuck in me.
And it's like, I feel like for people listening, acupuncture needles versus getting a shot are two very different things. Like it's very tiny, like spot that they're going into and they're tiny.
It definitely is a different experience than having to get like a shot or an IV. It wasn't as bad as I thought. And if anything, you're able to relax through it because then you just lay there for 15 to 20 minutes, right? And because of the way that it is working on your energy and your nervous system. It does just that even being in the office and the act of it starts to work right away in that way. I started to really look forward to those sessions. And ultimately, my mom ended up passing away that year. And that was certainly the hardest thing. But within 2 weeks after that happened, my period came back. It really showed me that no matter what I was trying to control in my health, God knew best. My body knew best. It knew that I was in a position of caregiving for another human already, and that trying to even consider being able to conceive or care for a child was completely out of the picture. And so sometimes I think in our healing journeys, we want to have all the answers. We want to figure it all out. And we do have to support our bodies and use this beautiful wisdom and knowledge that functional medicine brings us. But we also have to trust the process. We have to trust that everything is working out for us and that everything that happens in our lives is happening for a reason. It's all divinely orchestrated. There's no other way that we could try and control it or have it happen any other way. And it was just this lesson in learning to release and trust and come back into my own body. That was my functional medicine journey. And even since then, in the last 2 years now, since I went through all of that, I've continued to learn so much about mental health and hormone health, and specifically the nervous system and stress and all of these other areas too. And energy, too. That's another really big piece of it. I think we can get so far with functional medicine approaches around energy because a lot of people struggle with that. And now there's even more information and science and studies and research coming out around energy and other modalities that we can use. So I think of things like Reiki that for a lot of people can be a hugely beneficial modality. And yeah. Just lots of other really cool things. So if anyone is interested in any of those things, that's my jam right now and what I love working with people on.
Awesome. Yeah, there's so much to unpack in your story as far as going back to the gut health stuff with your husband and just that journey being so like life-changing. And for some reason, men can get better so much quicker than women. And I don't know why. I think some of it has to do with our stress and our hormone process being very different than ours and like the cyclical nature of things in our bodies. The same thing when men go to do a weight loss program. It's, oh, they lost their weight. We're still here on the struggle bus. So I think, yeah, but it does show like a really good example of how much food and nutrition plays a role. I remember when Destin learned about the paleo diet and then he looked at his breakfast of this like whole grain toast with peanut butter and honey on the top. And he was like, the honey is paleo, but like everything else is not. But yeah, it's learning these things, even if you're making like one choice at a time. I even had a patient this week who also struggles with, I suspected yeast, confirmed it on a stool test and antibodies as well. And also she ended up having some wheat sensitivity, maybe allergy because it's an IgE. And then, so I'm talking to her about being gluten-free, like going gluten-free for 90 days, like trying to talk about the yeast and like all this component. I'm just going to have some pizza tonight and then I'll start to remember. She was cracking me up. But yeah, it is like a big, like from a mindset standpoint. So there's all of these like things where we're surrounded around the table with people and we want to enjoy those experiences. But I think the amazing part about life now versus 10 years, even 4 or 5 years ago, is that there's so many recipes. There's so many even like store-bought things. Like you can buy gluten-free stuffing mix and you can buy gluten-free gravy. But like even a couple years ago, even ketchup without sugar to do a Whole 30, you had to make the ketchup with tomato paste and mustard and whatever vinegar. And now you can go to the store and buy a bottle of ketchup in a glass bottle that is literally tomatoes and vinegar and spices. So we've come a long way. And I think part of that is like us demanding that the food industry changes. And so I think there's a lot of amazing changes, I think, that allow us to do some of these dietary changes a little bit easier and more conveniently than maybe when you guys were doing it back in Michigan. But the hormone balancing, I mean, my story with, I've shared before, like my between my pregnancies and after my whole stress and GI stuff, and then after I stopped nursing my daughter, you know, I thought, hey, this is going to come back. But like 6 months later, I was in the same position. I had no hormones, basically was postmenopausal. And my physician at the time was like, but you can try acupuncture. And I was like, she's like, that's the only thing that's going to bring it back. But it's all about that hypothalamic, like your brain is sensing that you are under like this stressful experience. And until you tell your brain otherwise, it's going to think you're like running from a bear. And obviously we're not wanting to get pregnant when we're like running for our lives. And so when you're in that chronic stress state, that's what your brain thinks. It's like, it's too stressful here. There's no reason for you to procreate, have baby, like make another human being. You can't handle life as it is. So you're right. Like our body is just telling us that this is not a safe place for this process to happen. But yeah, so acupuncture, stress reduction, getting your body, there's herbs and adaptogens, like all kinds of things that we can use to help to bring that back. But I will say that's like thinking about like the Facebook groups that I'm in, like whether it's like a holistic group in a city or even like a mom's group, every single day there is a post about someone with low hormones, issues with an IUD, they're on oral contraceptives and they're having these symptoms. So for the women listening that are, you know, having these symptoms where you have fatigue, you have maybe even GI symptoms associated with it, your skin is a mess, like you're having acne, like you're just not sleeping well, like all of this hormone balance stuff, your periods are really heavy, you're having a lot of cramping, or maybe you're having a lot of pain between even throughout the cycle and not just at your period time. There's definitely ways that we could help. But a lot of times, like Lauren said, it does mean coming off of those things. Like we can't balance your hormones if you're taking oral contraceptives, because the point of those is to suppress your hormones and make you not have your hormone function. And the same thing with an IUD. Now, sometimes people with an IUD will still cycle and still have a period, but typically their hormones are less than you would if you weren't taking it. There are some cases where extreme bleeding situations, I have one patient that has like grade 1 endometrial cancer. They're using some oral contraceptives to suppress that with the oncology group. There's some very specific situations where maybe it makes sense to use one of these modalities. But for the majority of women, the tools have just become so easy, like the Oura Ring. Your temperature every day. It can sync with the Natural Cycles app. You can monitor your green days versus your red days. You can do ovulation strips if you want to have more data connected to that. So I think the ability to, obviously there's the other factors like mucus and changes like that for your cycle that we've known for years. But I think the tools that we have now to be able to track and understand what's going on with our body, again, are just like, we have everything in our fingertips to be able to do this on our own. It's really just, like you said, listening to our body and figuring out what we need to support it. And a lot of times that's stress. And, you know, I think with the pandemic, like you said, your job was very stressful. I even think like I've seen a lot of teachers and moms and other people that were really impacted by the pandemic, almost to the level of a trauma in a way, like that we experienced collectively. And I use that term lightly because I know there are situations that are, we would know for sure, considered trauma. But I think the way our brains reacted to everything being shut down, our communities being gone, all of these things really did impact people. And from a stress standpoint, I think there's some elements of that we're still dealing with in a lot of people's how they respond now, because one day you went to work, the next day you didn't for all this time. Some people lost their livelihoods. Some people lost their businesses. Like, your kids that you were taking care of all year in your classroom are all of a sudden gone and you don't see them again, right? Because you came back to it next year with masks and they're in another room. There was a lot surrounding that we're still trying to help people navigate with from a stress standpoint and a mental health standpoint that's going to probably take years to unravel. And unfortunately, I think the mainstream medicine, like from a mental health standpoint, like we've talked about in the past, is here's your antidepressant or here's your antipsychotic medication or whatever it is, your sleeping medication. And they're not addressing this HPA axis, which is that hypothalamic, pituitary, adrenal axis that helps really regulate our stress. And so it's sad.
Yeah.
That's the state. And we're seeing more suicides, more drug use, because people are trying to figure out how do I function.
Yeah. And like I said, the mental health piece is so close to my heart. That was what my mom struggled with, alcoholism and everything else. And you look back and you learn so much from experience. You sometimes wish, oh, I wish I knew then what I know now, right? We all had that in common. Oh my gosh, if I would have just known about SIBO 15 years ago when I was dealing with all this. But again, everything is truly coming to you in the right timing whenever you are ready for it, because so much of this work, it does involve a lot of change and a lot of personal growth and development and getting in touch with yourself and understanding how everything is connected. And from a mental health perspective, that's something else that I'm just so passionate about now. And it's like I had to go through that in order to understand it, right? Like whenever I was trying to be that caregiver for my mom, and like we were using all the pharmaceutical agents that we could, and nothing was still working, right? We were doing conventional therapy and things. We were still trying some functional medicine thing, but at that point, things were so severe, we were pretty limited. And now it's like I can look back on the other side and there's so many more tools in the toolkit that are available, and even more things coming and entering the conversation right now. So who knows where we'll be in another 15 years. You think about things like psychedelics even. Who knows? There's so much research coming out around just different topics. And I just think that the most important thing is to have hope and just take it one step at a time and know that it's all working out.
And find community. Isolation is never a place to be when you're struggling with mental health. So we have a whole podcast from our earlier days on the importance of community and health. So definitely check that out if you haven't listened to it. So, well, thank you. Aparna, did you have any final thoughts about any of Lauren's journey or anything else you want to share?
No, just to reiterate her exact message that, you know, just to have hope, to keep digging, and, you know, just don't take, you know, the answer of no, you're fine, or if you don't feel fine, just keep digging and find a provider. You know, farm to table is full of these amazing providers. So wherever you live, you know, we have a pharmacist there that would happily dig into, you know, what you're going through, and that, you know, you can find relief and just live your optimal life. So I just want people to know that you don't have to settle for however you're feeling right now.
Yes, we want you to thrive, which is what we're calling our new program for preventing diabetes and weight loss. But I have it on my license plate because I'm like, we want to help people. That's our goal. And so I have bought like a license plate rack that says, are you ready to? And then thrive, find us at our website. But anyways, yeah, I think that the advocacy, like being your own patient advocate, is so required in this current healthcare system, because if you don't advocate for yourself, there's not going to be someone that does, unless you have a really special provider. But they're just limited by the insurance system, by their time, by their, you know, workload and all of these things. But doing your own research, saying no, even maybe not going to a provider. Another patient was like, this person wants me to follow up in 6 months and I can't take this vitamin because he says my levels are too high, when they weren't really too high. But I'm like, well, that's your decision if you follow up with him again. You're not required to follow up with this person. And so if you feel it's unnecessary based on your improvements before now and then. So really taking ownership, I think, like you said, of your health and knowing that, like, you're in the driver's seat. These people around you are your guides, and you can choose which guide that you want at different points in your journey. It doesn't have to be always the same one, and it could be multiple at the same time that you're taking bits and pieces of information from too. Great points, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us, and I really appreciate you sharing your stories so that our listeners can hear that and know that there is hope for their symptoms that they're experiencing.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.